Those make you sad and wonder, what in the world was you doing, and who was she, and what about your kids? Get home now. That's what they make you think. But when you praise him, oh my goodness, found in your hands fullness of joy. Every fear suddenly wiped away here in your presence. That's our God right there. That's our God. He inhabits that right there. He moves in that right there. That's our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's why your enemy would like to hang something around your neck right before you walk in. Just a little bit of condemnation will go a long ways right before you get into the house of praise. And you walk in hanging down like, oh, I'm not worthy. That's not God that does that. That's two sources. Either it's the enemy or it's you. Remember, we act a lot like our enemy sometimes because we're flesh. Thank God for his glory and his power. Amen. Good to have you here today. I welcome our guests. If you're a first-time guest, thankful you're here. We have some ministers that are here. It's an honor to have them visiting with the Hendersons. And always an honor to have anyone here. If you're here today and no one even invited you, but you just slipped in, thank the Lord for those kinds too. We're honored to have you here today. And this is how we do church, and it's because our God is awesome and continues to show out and do things for us. And we are literally nothing without him, nothing without God. Amen. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Everybody say, all thy ways. Every area of your life, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. I want God to direct my path today. And my title today is Leaning on Jesus. We sing about it. I sung about it when I didn't even know what it meant. I was raised singing those songs that you didn't know what they meant. You sung them. Some of them had words you didn't even learn, old English. But that was it, leaning on him. Let's ask God today to bless our minds, hearts, and his word. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we need your blessings, your anointing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Touch our hearts and minds. Blend us together. Perfect unity. In Jesus' name, say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated finally. Sometimes I realize why some ministers preach from a stool. You stand up for so long, and I got to keep standing. But see, it's good because it makes me get through. A lazy boy recliner, that'd be horrible to have up here, wouldn't it? Empty the place out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct thy path. Yes. I have to trust in the Lord today. If I'm going to be a minister, if I'm going to be a pastor, let me tell you, I've got to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Yes. I can't have it divided and be trusting in something that's going to lead me into a hole or into a ditch. I've got to trust the Lord with all my heart. First, we must remember that Scripture is for our admonition and for our instruction in righteousness. It's there for us. And so Proverbs is full of blessings, we know that, and warnings that deal with life lessons. And every day I read, I didn't read it yesterday because we was out of town, so I can't use that anymore. Not every day. Most every day I read the chapter in Proverbs that corresponds with the day of the month. And so today, being the 10th, I read the 10th chapter of Proverbs. And it's just some good lessons in there. And Yes, when I get through, I don't remember everything that I read, but every month I'm going back and I'm getting that wisdom, and that's hopefully one of these days it's going to dawn on me and it's going to help me. But no, the Word of God, it's like eating food. The Bible says it's like that. You don't remember every bite, but you benefit from every bite. Amen. You're putting it away, you're stockpiling it in your heart. So we know that. But this very concise verse, like so many others, has a fine tip to it with very deep roots. It's the perfect antidote to my fickle heart that I might want to lean one way and lean the other way. But I need to trust in the Lord longer and longer. And I need to never get away from trusting in the Lord. I need to trust in Him with all my heart. Amen. I stand firm on the promises of God until I'll no longer stand there. Amen. We'll stand on the promises until we don't. And there's an end date to the promises as far as our standing is concerned. But as far as God's word is concerned, they are yea and amen, meaning they're set in stone. They're never going to change. But we are the one that wanders on and off sometimes. I will find myself going back to God, praying to Him about something that I've misunderstood because I got away from His promise and started listening to my own reasoning. And I realized right in the middle of it, Lord, if I would just stood by Your word, I would never have come to this place of questioning You. I think you can agree with me. We've all been there before. Amen. Trust in God must be complete and weatherproof. We can never let anything get between us and our trust in God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't figure it out yourself. Let God go ahead and give you His wisdom, because His wisdom works. His wisdom works. I'm reading a book right now by Benjamin Franklin, but about Benjamin Franklin. Interesting guy. His autobiographies, you know, are great, but when somebody else writes it, you know, they gather so much more and can bring a history together. And you know, of course, electricity. You think about him, you think of electricity. You'll hear Benjamin Franklin, you think about him flying a kite in bad weather, which he really did, but he didn't do it just one time with his son. They went out time and time again. And it wasn't because he thought rain was a great time and cloudy weather was a great time to fly a kite. It's because this man that was highly educated, he went all the way through second grade, thought in his mind that I believe the charge that we're hearing in the clouds and the lightning we see, he thought if we could just harness that energy, we perhaps could make it work for us. But he, in the face of all kind of opposition, he would go out in a rainy, cloudy day. They were in a field, him and his son, and he let that kite go. And he told his son, watch out now, because we're going to try to get a charge connected to the kite. And I think if we can discharge what it attaches itself to, we're going to find a way that we can harness this. People thought he was crazy. You know, he wrote Poor Richard's Almanac, and he had a wicked sense of humor. He really did, and he was smarter than anybody in the room, and he didn't even know it. But once he realized how clouds held the power to cause destruction, because that's really what was happening, and that destruction could be prevented, then he wrote about it. Because you see, when lightning would strike a building, the building would often catch on fire and burn to the ground. And in Boston, they had a lot of beautiful buildings, but it was the churches that always wanted to be the most beautiful and to be seen from the ocean. And so they'd have these nice spires, these steeples. And then the church would get struck by lightning and burned to the ground. And so when that happened, they assumed God was angry at that church. And so whatever it was, whether it was Baptist or Anglican, they'd say, you are not in the will of God. You're all rank sinners because your church burned to the ground. And old Ben is going, oh, hold on a minute. I don't think we need to start condemning everybody whose church gets struck by lightning, because the one pointing the finger, then their church got struck by lightning, and then the warehouse got struck by lightning. And what did the warehouse sell? Well, they sold cotton. What is God against cotton? So how many things does God hate? And you get into a problem when that happens. So he wrote this. He said, It has pleased God in his goodness to mankind at length to discover to them the means of securing their habitations and other buildings from mischief and from thunder and lightning. The method is this: provide a small iron rod. It may be made of wrought iron used by the nailers, but of such length that one end being 3 or 4 feet above the highest part of the building. To the upper end of the rod, fasten about a foot of brass wire the size of a common knitting needle, sharpened to a fine point, that the rod may be secured to the house by a few small staples. If the house or barn be long enough, there may be a rod and a point at each end and a middling wire along the ridge from one side to the other. A house thus furnished will not be damaged by lightning. Now think about what he's settling here. No more finger pointing. Everybody's going to be safer. So it's going to go from one house to the other. A house thus furnished won't be damaged by lightning, but being attracted to the points and passing through the metal all the way to the ground without hurting anything. Vessels also, now the ships and boats, having a sharp pointed rod fixed to the top of their mast with a wire from a foot of the rod reaching down round one of the shrouds to the water, will not be hurt by lightning. And here is the man that many people didn't really want to believe in, because they're thinking, we'll believe it when we see it. Same guy that invented bifocals. It may surprise you to know he invented the catheter. They don't call it the Franklin, but because he probably said, y'all just go ahead and call it what you want to. He invented it for his brother Frank. And it worked, and I guess they still use them today, much to our discomfort. But we need to move on. It was ironic to me that churches would, you know, often be the highest structures in the town, and being so became the easiest target for lightning. The most glorious, the tallest. God must be very angry with those churches, because here comes lightning, and suddenly the churches are being burned to the ground. But cities around the world, Boston, London, Paris, Philadelphia, began to sprout these sharp little rods on their spires called lightning rods. And when an earthquake struck Boston in 1775, one preacher assured his followers that it was a message from on high. He said, too many people in the city, he claimed, were defying the divine will by resorting to the works of the devil, these lightning rods. You're putting lightning rods, and thus you're causing the will of God to go astray, and his judgment's not falling on you because you're protected by lightning rods. It's amazing what a second grade education will afford a man who goes, hold it, people, let me just look at this logically. And he was able to harness that electricity that lights these lights right here. But it was a man that said, hold on, you're against God and you need to be for him. Let's find what good there is in all of this. Let's find what good. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Think about what all thy ways really entails. Not just the worship, but tomorrow when I wake up, God, what would you have me do today? When I'm on my way to work, Lord, how can I glorify you today? I've got to thank you, God, for the car I'm driving. I've got to thank you for the job that I'm going to. I've got to acknowledge God in all of my ways. You see, when you acknowledge God in all of your ways are going to be open before him. And it's going to be very difficult to justify doing something that God is not pleased with when you acknowledge God in all of your ways. If you acknowledge him in everything you do, he will direct your path. He's going to be in control of every step that you take. He's going to bless you everywhere you turn, because you're acknowledging that God is in control of my life. Everywhere I look, there's a God there. But if I go to the other side and I don't acknowledge God in all my ways, and I cut out this sliver, you know, think of a pie chart. Don't anybody get hungry. I said a pie chart. Think of a pie chart. And in that pie chart, there's this sliver there of this that last piece. And you're thinking, that's my part of my life I'm giving to God. That's God's piece right there. Folks, he made the pie. He's over the bakers who made the pie. He's over the world that has the bakers that made the pie. He's over everything. We've got to acknowledge God in all of our ways. Then he will truly direct our paths. I thank God that he's a director of our pathways. We're here today by his grace and by his mercy. It's not much of a struggle to acknowledge him up here where I'm at, because I'll tell you what a move of God in this place today. I love Sundays. Amen. I really like the Wednesdays, you know, when we have the youth in and it's like a Sunday. Move of God. But we know we need all that other thing too. We do. It's necessary. But I love it. Our songs, our praise are directed to the God of heaven and the God of our salvation. But our ways don't stop here. Amen. God, I want you to be aware of my ways. I want to acknowledge God in all my ways. How do I do that? That means at every point and in every turn, I'm going to walk with him. At every turn, I'm going to have him in my hands. At every point of my life, it has to be my aim. Lord Jesus, I want to lean in your direction. I don't want to just know God's name. I don't want to just be able to have him there for emergencies. But just look at what I've got. This is a walking stick. This is not something I have to have to walk. But when you get to places where you just can't stand anymore, sometimes you need something to lean on. Amen. They use these in the woods in case you ever stumble. You can put it down there and find out where the footing is. And this is what we need to have with God is, Lord, no matter where I go, I'm equipped that I'm going to lean on Jesus. Every time I walk out the door of my house, I'm going to lean on Jesus. And if I'm leaning on Jesus, I'm going to be aware of what I'm doing. Am I doing something right or am I doing something wrong? But if I'm leaning on him every day of my life, then I know he's happy with where I'm at. We got to lean on him. We have to trust in him with all our heart. Don't lean unto your own understanding. Don't lean unto your own philosophies. Don't lean unto things that cause others to look like they're looking down on you. But lean on the Lord that's able to lift you up where they already are. Lean on Jesus. He's always there for you. And I love this part about God more than anything. You don't have to have a PhD in Jesusology for him to be able to support you. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, I love hearing stories from the foreign field. So many stories of people coming to a service. And one of my friends was talking about his wife. And where was Amy and David at when she was Bangladesh? They were at Bangladesh, and she was at a, they were at a conference there, and David Meyer's wife, Amy, was praying for a woman and had her hand on her face where she had a tumor. These people, they didn't have a history of knowing Jesus. They didn't have a history of understanding how do we approach God and what's the scripture. They don't know the scriptures. They're there because somebody said, there's hope here. There's power here. And while she had her hand on that tumor, the tumor under her hand began to shrink until it disappeared on the side of that woman's face. And that woman praised and glorified a God that she just then started leaning on. He didn't need her to know all the scriptures in the Bible. She just had to have faith that my God's about to touch me. Dear Lord, help us that we can totally lean on you when we're veterans of salvation. Raise your hand if you was raised in the church. That's pretty good. That's pretty awesome right there. You with your hands up, y'all know this. We got to go back and renew over and over, don't we? We got to renew. I had to learn how to serve the God of junior high school. And then I had to learn, and I actually got a degree in serving the God of high school. I didn't get any other degrees, just graduated. Middle of my class. I mean, like right in the very middle of my class. I was just trying to be moderate in all things, as the Bible said. Let your moderation be known unto all men. I said, I'm going to aim medium. Young people, don't copy me in that at all. At all. Don't ever try that. Not that I was trying. That's probably part of the problem. But after I got out of high school, I had to start working on my next degree. And that was I had to learn to find Jesus, the kind that I could lean on, The kind that would give me the job that I needed. The kind that would protect me at my job. The kind that would lead me to the right place. And I remember the day, and I remember the time, and I remember the first night of that revival when I went to the Sunday night in January of 19-something or other. 80. You mean there was a 1980 in our life? And I remember that revival. And my Aunt Ruby turned around, and there was my wife just two seats in front of me. My aunt was between us, and she turned around and said, "Are you going to be stupid?" I never heard that in church before. She was very plain spoken. I had never spoken a word to my wife, but my Aunt Ruby said, "Are you going to be stupid enough to let that girl get away from you?" All right, I'll go up there and propose right now. In that regard, in that way, I had to learn to lean on Jesus. God, Aunt Ruby probably is prophetic in what she said, but I want it to be you. It's got to be you, Lord. Whatever level you're at, you can lean on Him. Whatever level you're at. Have you ever seen those things at the carnival? I could use this for everything today. And you shoot at those little ducks going by. I'm trying to find the will of God. And just zipping by, and I don't want to miss it. Can I just share this with you? God meets you on your level. Don't think, "Oh, I could never be like Pastor. He has all those stories." Yeah, you can. You can start today building a repertoire of cool stories that God answers prayers in your life. We met, got together. Y'all know the story, you know. But if you don't know the story, well, we met, we got together. And we were dating as much as you can. And my mother-in-law, who's here today, thank the Lord, she's able to be here. She was for me, and she was for her daughter finding a husband. Her husband was evangelizing, and he needed to be looking out for his family, and he was. And it's like he was just having revivals right there by our church, just, you know, Fort Worth, Dallas, Dallas, Fort Worth, and we're right in the middle, and I'm thanking God for that. But I remember as they were going to try out for a church in the western side of Texas. Texas is massive. The western side is a lot of space with emptiness. And they're going to a little town, and I fasted one day, and I said, "Lord, I'm working Monday, but I'm going to fast on Saturday. And I want you to answer my prayer. What am I supposed to do? I think I'm supposed to marry Dawn. But God, I need you to help me with this. Because I'm getting to the age where I think I have a right to know. So where?" I didn't really think that'd be funny, but I guess it is. "Where is this going?" I'm telling you, for a young man, fasting all day with my mom cooking a roast on the stove that day as I left. Difficult. And I'm leaning on Jesus, and I went right over here to the front row of our church in Arlington, Texas. And I'm kneeling down there and praying and praying and hoping I get into some depth that I'd never been to before. And I'd fasted before, but not about life changes situations. And I said, "Please, God, just let me hear your voice." And God spoke into my mind. It wasn't an audible voice. That might have scared me. But the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, so very plainly, "The church that Brother Seal is trying out for this Sunday, he won't take that. But the next place they go, they're going to stay there for quite a while. And that's where everything's going to take place." So you can imagine that Sunday, I'm waiting on her call to call me and tell me, "What did you think about the church in Ranger, Texas?" I'm waiting because if that was God, then she's not going to call and say, "Guess what? We were elected, and if you want to see me, you got to drive way west of Fort Worth." And she called me, and she goes, "Ugh, no, not this place. This wasn't it." I said, "Oh. So what are you going to do? Where are you going?" He goes, "Well, Dad's been offered a position in Longview, Texas. And he's going to go there and see how it works out." I said, so you can be there for a while. It looks like it could be a while. I said, so like not just a few weeks, but a while. Yeah, it looks like we could be there a while. That still wasn't complete, but at least it was a ledge that I could put my foot on. And I just walked, got up that day, and I knew I'd been trying to lean on Jesus. And I said, Lord, if it's you, then that's going to be the place. And that's going to be where we'll get married, if you're in that. Now, folks, you may just think I'm being funny telling a story about our early years. And I tell stories like this all the time. But that was a major event in my life because I wanted God in my marriage. I wanted God in my relationship. And I went to see her down there, over there, East Texas. And I remember they was using a lake house. A family had given them a lake house on a beautiful lake, awesome place. And she said, we're going to be able to stay here for quite a while. We don't have to stay in the travel trailer anymore. And it looks like this could turn out to be just kind of a permanent thing for a while. And I went back to that front pew in my mind, and I thought, oh, Lord, that was you. That was you, God. I leaned on you, and you stood there and held me up. The important point about that leaning that happened that day is it showed me what it feels like to lean on Jesus. He came through, and then I knew he's a God that you can lean on when you're 18 or 19 years old. He's a God that will pick you up wherever you are if you stand still long enough and you just lean on him. But you've got to stand still and wait on the Lord. And I say, wait on the Lord. You've got to wait on the Lord. What a mighty God that we serve. In all our ways. In all our ways, acknowledge him. From your thought world to your private world, you've got to acknowledge God in every way. Why? Because God is not going to tolerate you sectioning a part of the pie and saying, this is my God world, and then walking out into the world and saying, I'm going to get back to that slice, but I want what's out here too. I'm sorry. You're going to frustrate the purpose of God and confuse yourself. Listen to me, young people. If you could buy into this thing, you don't have to be called to the ministry. You just have to put your faith in the Lord and lean on Jesus. Lean on Jesus. Lean on Jesus. Lord, in your name. This is, oh, I wish every young person could just please believe me and hear me right now. See, I had these testimonies before I ever preached a sermon. God doesn't just do this for preachers. Trust me. We got proof all out here. You lean on him, he'll hold you up. But you got to lean on him. You got to bind yourself. This is very important. You got to bind yourself to that plan. What does that mean? First of all, you got to tear down your exit strategy. Say, I'm not leaving. I'm not getting out of this, Lord. It's you or nothing. It's your way or nothing. I don't want my way. I don't want a hybrid way where it's you and me a little bit, and we're going to add a little bit of the world, and I'm going to have this plan to where if you don't, then I'm going to bail. No, you got to cut your losses. You got to cut all the other options out of your life and say, it's me and Jesus. He'll operate then because he knows what's in your heart. You don't even know, but you got to search your heart and say, as David did, Lord, search me and know me. And Lord, help me to see if there's any option that I'm holding back of escaping to the right or left. Search me and know me, God, and see if there's any way in me, a shadow of turning. No, Lord, don't let me turn, but let me stay focused on you in Jesus' name. We acknowledge God in many ways. We acknowledge him with our increase when we pay tithes and offering. It's a struggle for some, but let me tell you, even our older and younger, please hear me. You got to be faithful in your giving. Bind yourself to that. Lord, no matter what, I'm going to give. I'm going to give. I'm going to give. I'm going to give. During that same season, I gave an offering that I couldn't afford to give. When I went to church, you know, and I thought, well, I'm going to support my future father-in-law. And so I gave everything's in my wallet. And then I, the next day or two, I was blessed with a lady running into the side of my new car. And if you look close, you could sort of see there in the fender a little bit of a mark there, just a tiny mark. And so I drove to the insurance company they told me to go to, and the guy looked at it, and he goes, "You're going to have to show me where the mark is. I don't see it." And I just said, "You got to get way down here, right there." "All right, bud." He wrote me a check for, I don't know, $250 or something like that. He goes, "Don't go get this fixed because I can't even see it. And it won't look right, but I'm going to give you a check." And cut me a check. And as I'm, getting my free money, I immediately connected the dots. I just gave in the offering everything I had, and God just quadrupled it in a day. You know what? I'm talking about leaning on Him in every way, in all your ways. From your thought world to your private world, you must acknowledge God. And as I'm preparing to close, we need to lean on the one who will direct our path. He will direct your path. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, one of the hardest things for us to wait for is due time. When it's time. When it's time. When a lady has a baby, about the fourth month, she's ready to have that baby. But it's not due. You got to wait. It's not due. It's uncomfortable, but it's not due. But in due time, casting all, everybody say all. Casting all your care on Him. Lord, there's times I can walk on my own, and that's cool. But then, God, there's days that I'm like this right here. Yeah. Lord, if you're not there, I'm on my face. Yeah. If you're not there, God, I'm going down. I have to cast all my care on Him. Yeah. I'm hardly holding anything up, Lord. It's all You. Yeah. All my care is on Him. What is this? That's my future. That's my hope. That is all my dreams. That is everything I'm going to need going forward. It's right there. And I don't know how. I don't see how He's going to do it. But I'm leaning on the everlasting, invisible arm of God. And if you keep on leaning on Him by your faith, every step you take, you're waiting on the path to form under your feet because you don't even see how. You're walking in the middle of nothing. But if you will just keep walking with Him, He will provide for you. And He will reward you because you're leaning on the everlasting arm of God. He loves you that much. He will lift you up and take care of you. Oh, God, cast all your care on you, for He cares for you. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord." He's got your mind, heart, and emotions in His hand. He said, like the rivers of the water, He turns it whithersoever He wishes. He turns it wherever He wants to. The king, what David is saying, God, You've got me. You've got me on Your hands. You've got me in Your hands. And he said, the Lord just steers me wherever He wants me to go. When he said heart there, he's talking about the seat of his emotions. He says, God, I'm all Yours and I'm in Your hands. That's why he said, You know my uprising and my downsitting. My thoughts, Lord, You know afar off. Why? Because I'm in Your hands. When I glorify You, God, You're the one that's bringing me to those places of glory. You take me to the scenic overlooks and just let me look at Your glory and Your power. You show me the future and say, that could be Yours if You just let me, or if You remain in my hand. I've got so many more things to show You and to give You, because David had learned a long time before to lean on the Lord. He understood what it was about with a sling in his hand. He knew what that thing would do if he leaned on the Lord. Take the armor off. It doesn't fit me. I'm going to go out there and hit him with a rock in his forehead, and that's all my God needs, because I'm leaning on the arm of the Lord, because He's steering my life. We're guided by many influences in this world. We are. Be careful what gets you, because what gets your attention will get you. God is merciful to us, but if we take our affections and we place them in the world, and that's what really draws us. Remember, you're leaving a wonderful option, and you're in danger of losing your soul. God, help us today that we can lean on You. Everyone's challenge today is to discern which path is right in the eyes of the Lord. For each of us, we have to remove the emotion and the earthly desire from that decision and follow the leading of God. People get emotional. They get emotional about the flag. That's all right. about their family, about their kids, about their favorite football team. They get emotional. They get riled up sometimes. But my number one emotion needs to be my praise to God. All that He's done for me. It's much easier to follow a path than to make a path. Making paths. Pushing away the briars, the sticks. It don't look like anybody's been here in a while, but I'm just going to forge my way through. Getting cut up. All that stuff. We used to go ride our bikes down at the creek. It had been a creek. I don't know why it wasn't anymore, but it was the funnest place to ride a bike in the world. Totally dry. And where that creek would snake through the woods. For years, boys had come, and maybe girls too, I'm sure. My friend Erin Hickey lived right by that creek, and I never saw her ride her bike there. And I thought, what's wrong with Erin? If I lived next door, I'd live in that creek. You could go down in that creek, down one side and up the other, and fly through the air. All those things Mom never knew you was in danger of breaking limbs. It was the funnest place ever. Oh, I loved it. No harm there. Golf course on the other side. That was the Lord showing me. Stay on your bike. Don't go there. You'll be better at riding your bike. But see, those were old paths that somebody years before. And in my thinking, I thought, when did they do this? In my thought, I thought they probably did it just maybe last year or something. I didn't realize these paths, they don't get like this overnight. Somebody has been here before you. I've got to tell you, these paths, they work. They work. We don't need to show up to a path and just think we can throw away our relationship with God and say, I'm going to be all right. No, when you come up to a path, you just need to walk down that right path and say, thank God that you have an elder that came before me, a pastor that was here, a teacher that was here, and just keep on walking with the Lord. He will never let you down. It is His path. He's the author of those kinds of things. He will bless you there. Thank you, God. The God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow already has your path laid out. He has it for you. We just got to walk down it, follow it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct my paths. He'll direct thy paths. As we stand, you can lean on Jesus today. Time would not permit me to give you example after example of stories that God has come through in such obvious ways. Not because I'm particular or special. It's because He is. In this place here, 160 or 70 people here today, I promise you there's easily 100 right now that could come up and testify from now till tomorrow about the path, about the blessed life living for the Lord. Oh, it's a good life. It is a good life. I know when I was a kid and I'd go to church and hear old people preach to old people. That's kind of the way I saw it. I'd sit there as a young person and I'd hear old people preach to old people. Till one day or night, that old guy preached to me and made me a new guy. All right. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Something touched my heart, stirred me on the inside. And I realized, Lord, you're not just a grown-up God. You're everybody's God. Everybody's God. My family all serve the Lord. But when you get outside of my family, there's some that do. My mother and my dad both were anchors. They both had siblings that served God. I'm not saying we were an island there. But I have cousins and second cousins that had the opportunity and the option. Went to church with some of them. Fine churches. Solid apostolic preaching. But they changed their mind. They just took a different course. Harsh, harsh lives they're living. Because this path, I wish so much that I could just take some of the things God has done for me and just put it in some sort of a capsule and let you take it so you can see how real and how awesome He is. Don't ever believe this lie that it's for certain people but not for others. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come and drink from the waters of life freely. Freely. Can I entice you to take another drink today? Could I tempt you just to come back up here and drink just one more time, church? Let's gather up here. And today, if you're here and you don't have the Lord in your life, I want to tell you something. All you've got to do, this is according to God's holy word, spoken by Simon Peter. When the crowd said, what must we do? He said, you just need to repent. That means say, God, I'm turning around and asking you to forgive me of my sin. Repentance means to go the other way. Just, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to cleanse your sins away. You can be baptized after you receive the Holy Ghost or before. But He says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a promise from the Word of God. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You mean I got to do that? No, no, no. You get to do that. It's a privilege, let me tell you. It's an awesome thing. I can't build the words. I can't find the words to tell you how awesome this experience is. Oh, He will take you where you are and put you on a rock. He'll set your feet on a solid ground, and He'll start showing you how that you can lean on Him. You can lean on Him. You can lean on Him. I want to tell somebody else here, you haven't leaned on Him in a while. You need to lean on Him today. You need to lean on Him today. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, you're just looking for a relationship. That's all God's looking for. He wants a relationship. He wants a relationship. He loves you, and He wants you to acknowledge Him and come to Him and just say, Father, forgive me. I've been a sinner. God is reaching for somebody right now. The Lord is reaching for someone right now today. He's reaching for you. Holy God, in your name, Father, I pray, Lord, that one, they're feeling.